So previously, in his attempts to try and defend himself, Roderick, unbeknownst to him, Roderick started paying more attention, and when Roderick found out that the captain of the guard stole the brown box from him, he gave out a key that he kept with him secretly and gave it to Caspian to open it.
Yes, because in Roderick's defense, he wasn't aware that the strong box had been pilfered by the captain of the guard. So the key that he had was for his own personal safety box. And so, Caspian takes the key and, going in front of Peeta, he goes to initiate unlocking the box. And Edmund catches a glance towards the direction of the captain of the guard, who is awkward, pale, and nervous, fumbling, muttering something under his breath. And Edmund then curiously glances over to Roderick, who has a very interesting combination of a stony glare and a very curious anticipation. Edmund thinks to himself, perhaps he's wondering what's been stolen. Perhaps there are things that should be in there and that are not. Caspian puts in the key and clicks it open. And the box lid is slowly opened up. Susan and Lucy are craning their necks trying to see what's inside. All this excitement.
Along with me and Beaver.
And initially, Caspian pulls out some papers. Clearly a collection of some royal papers, he says to his own surprise, not expecting that. He sees a number of them that has an insignia and the royal seal. And what are those? May I please see? Comes from behind them. In a moment, you'll be able to look after them. I don't suppose, well, you wouldn't be able to tell if anything's missing, Roderick says hastily. You're very correct on that, Your Highness, but give us a moment to see what sort of documents your captain has been trying to keep from us.
Yeah. Oh yeah, fun fact. He tacked Caspian with it.
Roderick gives a sharp glance over towards the captain. He did what?
Yep, I saw him myself. He swung him with... He grabbed the thing and swung it at Caspian. And I believe at Edmund too.
Must have been pretty powerfully important to him. Sorry, you were going to say?
Was Edmund safe?
Oh. Now, he did give a swing towards me, but I was further enough away that I wasn't in danger. But his intentions were very grave. And Caspian continues to search through. And Peeta takes... What's that? It looks like some sort of a pouch. It's like some sort of brown bag. Those were my mother's, Roderick calls out. Is it jewelry? Yes, it's jewelry. If you open it, you'll see. There's a locket, there's a ring, and there's also a diamond necklace. Please be careful with those.
Sorry, go on.
Roderick says, please be careful with those. Those are very personal to me and my brother.
We understand.
And Peeta opens it up the bag and cautiously pulls out an exquisite and extraordinary necklace of diamonds with a tint of blue. And hanging from them, a very elaborate gold medallion. Very simple, but still elaborately buffed so that it shines and catches the light exquisitely. But they are a little tarnished with age, but have been kept in very rarely excellent condition. Susan and Lucy, their eyes glow at the sight of them. Can I see? Lucy says, be very careful. Technically, this is evidence. Yeah, Lucy, you shouldn't be looking at it. Well, you're looking at it. Why can't I?
Well, she can look at it. She just can't.
Just don't put it on.
Just not touch it as much.
I'll be careful. have fallen, not a child. Lucy, come on. Look, see? And Susan holds it up. And both of them admire it. Quite a lovely piece for a lady to wear. And Peter pulls out a ring, the dark red jewel. And... forgive me, I can't remember what the last thing was. A locket. And he pulls it out. And the words inside the locket are hard to distinguish. Please don't lose anything of that. Please. Don't worry. It's going right but in the bag. Lucy. Susan. And they hand him the necklace. And he puts there. See? And Edmund. Peter ties the bag in front of Roderick, who noticeably is calmer. You go. No, you go.
I wonder if Dina would be able to read that last insignia.
It's an interesting thought. Looks a bit aged, though. Thought maybe she would. I'll bet Truffle Hunter might have more of an experience. What do you mean?
Bina, as you know, has some relations to Janus by means of her sister, by means of the sister being her mom.
Oh, I see. So you think that since she's in the family, she might be able to read this language?
Yes.
Certainly is an interesting thought, Susan puts in. But what are the other papers in there?
Good point.
Well, I'm seeing a number of documents that are... they seem to be very important properties, he says. Pete? No, these aren't the properties that tax collector was talking about. This is just normal peasants. No, they seem to be far more important. Something having to do with the castle, and also with more ancient pieces of land that... it's very cryptic here. And Peter shuffles under. Hello, what's this? This looks a bit old to be in here. Caspian's eyes widen. Let me see that. He grabs it. Edmund, look at this.
What is it?
Those look like some old papers. Papers that could have been down in the library. Like that book that had its page ripped out. Do you think that he did that? I don't know.
I think he possibly could have. Not Roderick, but possibly the captain of the guard.
Indeed. That'd be very... Well, there's only one way to find out. Your Majesty, and Roderick's very alert. There should be 7 royal property documents in there, together with a letter, the final letter that I ever received from my father, the marriage certificate of my father and my mother, both my brother and I's birth certificates, and also you should be able to see there are some old money revenues that are pertaining to the inheritance that was supposed to be, it's the will, effectively, of the last will of my father and also of my uncle when I ascended to the throne. It's all in there. There's nothing to be mistaken. I have no idea why that man had to grab my personal legal documents. I was keeping them safe, my lord. We had intruders. And Roderick's anger flares. You know perfectly well that I know how to take care of my own belongings. I didn't see you next to me in the battle. You were somewhere hiding, you scoundrel. It would be very helpful.
Come to mention it, I didn't really notice him when I went off to fight you. No offense, Roderick.
No offense indeed. I didn't notice him either. You didn't wish for me then. You were too interested in your own glory and defending your own kingdom, of which you sadly have been part of. And the captain of the guard shifts and blinks in surprise. This was a new tone of voice he had never heard from Roderick, who had always treated him with the utmost trust and respect. What else is in that box? There are some old papers here that... look, the aging does not match with the documents that you've spoken of. And Roderick goes to snatch... They're very old. More cautiously, Roderick takes the paper. These are old. I don't recognize them. How did... Well, if you look on the edge, Caspian points, they seem to me that they've been torn. Perhaps recently? How would you be able to tell that? Well, if you look at the way... Edmund comes closer. Look at the way the paper... If a paper's been torn for a long time, it gets dulled. You know, it gets rubbed against things and so forth. But if it's harsher, you can tell... Well, it's not fail-safe, but gives you an idea. And these were torn... recently, but not within the past... I can't give numbers, but it was not done yesterday. They've been in here for a little while. Roderick glares over to the captain of the guard, who gives him a stony look in return. But I wouldn't say they've been here for ages. Probably within the last, I don't know, year or two, is a rough estimate. Well, that's very scientifically deduced, says the captain of the guard coldly. Well, it's probably not too far off. Didn't see any data analysis that could back you up. Well, I did. You responded. So, the fact that you responded to the grade or analysis, that tells me even more than my guess. It was just a guess. That tells me more than the paper. Clearly, you've pulled it off within the past year or two. Well, you wouldn't have said anything. That's another guess. Hardly. Having spent, at this point, probably 4 or 5 days with you. That's not a guess. It's deduction. It's what happens when you get to know someone, I guess. Roderick.
I wonder if he... Side note, but I wonder if the captain of the guard had anything to gain from Bertram's temporary absence.
An interesting thought. What do you mean?
Well, I think... I'm not the best at presenting theories, but...
Yeah, just speak from the heart.
I'll try my best. Basically, I think in his own way, he himself considered Bertram a nuisance to a degree.
You mean like posing a threat as well as a nuisance, or just a nuisance? Because a nuisance would suffice.
I think posing a threat. Mm. What's to say Bertram couldn't have come upon those documents and then told Roderick later?
Interesting. Would Bertram have thought to look in the strongbox, though?
To be fair, probably not. But maybe he could have.
But he could have come across some sort of shady going on with the Captain of the Guard, and the Captain of the Guard wasn't aware of it. You know, one of these days when you give that man a name.
He could have probably come across some underhanded business with the garrison.
Yes, indeed.
Underhanded business with the garrison reported to Roderick, who probably would reluctantly, after much pleading, investigate it later.
Yes,
but that's a theory. That's as much as I can think of.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory. No, it certainly is. You would have to consider the fact that Bertram was a bit... He wasn't exactly the curious type to go nosying about.
No, that is true. Well, to be fair, when he first started getting the Captain of the Guard exposed, well, being a kingpin and whatnot, it started making me think, like, I don't know, like, I think, like, somehow he would have had something to gain from Bertram being absent, you know?
No.
Barked into Roderick's ear, and then accidentally unintentionally getting Roderick himself curious.
I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree that the Captain of Guard would have easily formulated that suspicion, that concern about Bertram. And, yeah, it would just be something to study and theorize in what way he would be concerned. I definitely agree with you that he could have found that Bertram's...
I think he was more up for invading Narnia.
That is an interesting thought.
I think in his own way, he was sort of pushing for an invasion on Narnia.
Yes, and at the very least, the annoyance with Bertram is that if Roderick left to his own devices, eventually he could easily have smoldered up into him wanting to invade Narnia. So, even if Roderick was being played at with the Osprey trying to stoke him and whatnot, the Captain of the Guard could have easily done his own stoking once Bertram was out of the picture.
Because I think he's more mad that we're helping establish good leadership in HR.
Well, especially by the sounds of it, it sounds like he was doing a bit of the leading. The Captain of the Guard, keeping Roderick out of a lot of the mundane organization. While there was some validity to the fact that trying to report certain things to Roderick was going to be a dangerous thing because of Roderick's insecurities and temper and his self-focus, but be that as it may...
Anyway, let's get back to the story.
So, back to the story then. Oh, no, don't apologize. It's good. It's good thinking. It's what gives motivation to the characters underneath, so it's good to think it out. So.
Once we're done looking through this evidence, I'd like to play one of the recordings from when I went, from one of my peak files with Caspian.
You mean, like, literally? You're welcome to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, after we're done looking through the box.
Okay. So, seeing the old documents, there's 3 or 4 pages that clearly have been torn from books in the library. Roderick's temper is clearly beginning to rise. All this time, Roderick has been keeping himself remarkably calm and has not been explosive, nor has he been railing against all the testimony that's been coming forth against him. He seems to have been showing remarkable self-restraint and waiting for his moment to be able to defend himself whenever that moment is given to him. But now, considering that he has been seeing that someone, and clearly the captain, his second-in-command, effectively of the kingdom, has been tearing out pages from his family, the royal family's old, ancient library, Roderick is definitely getting angered.
We should take these pages out and review them later.
And you
I have
see,
a feeling one of those pages will reveal who Jadis's sister is.
I have a feeling it's also going to reveal few other important items. Items that I overlooked as a child, glancing over the captain, and was recommended to keep out of as long as I can remember. And what sort of information have you been searching for? My lord, there's been... They're not significant. Not significant! He holds them up angrily. Then what are these doing in this box, separate from the rest of the library? He says, pointing down to the floor, indicating the library. I'd like to have an explanation. There's no reason whatsoever why they were torn out. There was a reason why they were torn out. And as Roderick's talking, you see that Bertram comes up close and indicates that with his hand that he wishes to take a look. And Roderick glances over and sees Bertram, and this is the first time that they have encountered each other actively in the courtroom. Bertram looks forward. I seem to recall what that book was from. I should rather say what book it came from. You recognize this? Yes. Don't you remember? It was that one time that we went down. The one time we were actually in there. Yes, do you see that? No, I don't. Well, that was from... Was that huge book? The blue one? The blue cover, remember? You had trouble pulling it from the shelf. Yes, I remember that. I almost fell down. Yeah, that was the one. It had that, and it had that gold thing on the cover. The gold insignia. Yes! Yes, that was it. I don't remember what that book was, do you? No, I don't. What about this one? Those look more like symbols. Yes, I do. And this one? That's a very old language. Is it? I thought it was just terrible handwriting. No, that's old. Look at that. Look, see? Those letterings got dropped about 400 years in, do you remember? Oh. Yes, I remember. I hated writing that one. No, I don't remember these. And Bertram glances. It would be very helpful if we could find the books that they came from.
What?
Right, stick the pages back into them, see where they came from. Say again?
Wasn't it that book that you were searching through earlier, Bertram?
It might be. I would have to see it in context, I'm very sorry. But it could
it's
be.
It's fine. Well...
And Roderick Angerly...
Well, you're the king. Why don't you do it? Well... well, to me, you're the king. Why don't you get one of the soldiers to go grab it for the trial?
And Bertram smiles. I would not trust a soldier down there, but I might go myself, he says with a wink.
All right, you go ahead.
Very well, then.
Once you're done. Anyway.
And Roderick takes the papers together and hands them back to Caspian. I'd be very curious to see what other evidence you can find, Your Highness.
Indeed. One in particular I'm thinking of is who the heck Vena's mom is.
Ugh. And Captain of the Guard smiles. You won't find it amongst those papers. How can you be sure? Because they're not in there. Then where are they? Roderick asks impatiently. I only know that those papers are not in that box. For you see, I have been searching for them myself. What do you mean, you liar? I mean to say is that those papers, my lord, have been pulled out before I was searching. How do you know this? I came across it myself, sir. Which is part of why I've been looking about. You stole these papers from the library and you stole my box and put them in there for a reason. Perhaps we should get back to the court case at the present. And we will handle this. Yes, we will handle this, but it will be dealt with later.
Oh, absolutely.
Just as long as he doesn't get away with anything, he says, pointing at him. Do not worry, my lord. It will all be taken care of. The court may be resumed. Do not worry, Your Highness. And Roderick, attempting to maintain his peace, sits himself down. And Bertram and Roderick glance at each other. Initially, in a rather familiar way, and then in a distant way at the realization of their positions. And by the time the moment passes quickly, they both look at each other concerned. Who was it that was rummaging through their family files, stealing it from them? Was there potential of wishing them harm? Bertram quietly turns and heads out of the courtroom door. So, you wanted to play a file?
If I may, I would like to play one of... I was going to play one of the evidences to... Well, it may disprove you in one way, but this time, I'm wanting to play this piece of evidence. I'm aiming this at the Captain of the Guard. With this, I load the tape where we were spying on Roderick. We're spying in on Roderick after we snuck Bertram out of Charn.
Okay.
You may have had some anger issues with Bertram for a while, but you're not the one who had as much of a problem with him as I believe the Captain of the Guard. I believe the Captain of the Guard has had... I believe the Captain of the Guard has had something to gain from Bertram's absence.
You have evidence for this?
Let the file play. And with the... We all know that Bertram's not coming back. And they play the whole thing for the court to hear and see. So, as you can see here, to be fair, I wouldn't expect you to guess that they had fled to Narnia. We would never have let you know. We would certainly never have let you know that. However, I'm more wondering how hard the captain of the guard actually tried to search for Bertram. If he was really concerned, or if he was happy that Bertram was out of the picture. Lest Roderick get some unintentional inspiration to ask you certain uncomfortable questions about taxes and whatnot.
Roderick glances over at the captain. How far did you search?
I searched as far as the coast, my lord, just as you ordered me. And before I get blamed, he says, rising to his feet, for the absence of Bertram and the separation or some sort of spear between the two brothers, I might remind the court, you're not being accused of that. We all know that I was the one who was part of it, initiated it. No one's accusing you of that, so why are you bringing that up?
I merely want to stifle this, he says, pointing at Francis, before the prosecutor tries to make some sort of story that I am the one behind the separation between you two in order to get to you, my lord.
Well, we both knew that separation.
How did you feel about Bertram?
How I felt about Bertram was that he was a prince who had ideals that did not match with Chan's future as it broke and did not fit, and it was entirely foreign to the entirety of Chan's past. And he was a scared boy, still trapped as a child in the fear of the sudden death of his parents. And so he was not competent to rule, and Roderick had more of the manliness necessary to make sure that the rule was established, he says, slamming his fist on the table for emphasis. And that he did not allow the commoners to step all over him, or take over, or murder himself or his brother.
That's because you never let him interact with the commoners.
My dear sir, he says, leaning forward on his fists, you were not here, and you have not been here. I have been regarding Roderick's wishes. He was not interested in seeing the commoners himself.
It is true.
Yes, but you took advantage of it. To make sure that the king wouldn't find out certain things. If he interacted more with the commoners, he probably, while still retaining a certain disgust with the commoners, would be doing his own searching and investigations.
You, sir, seem to have a very well-acquainted view of Roderick, even though you've only met him within the past month, perhaps. I have lived with him since he was a child, and I know for a fact that the few instances that Roderick has occurred in interacting with the peasants, that I have not seen the slightest shred of compassion. In fact, all I have seen was annoyance and irritation.
And Roderick turns away, blushing terribly.
And therefore, I, perhaps in taking advantage of things, perhaps they were handed to me on my lap. Perhaps I do not have to work very hard or go seeking for anything. For the fact is, the King Roderick chose to be who he is. And who he was who I respected as his own choices of what man he grew to be.
Yes, but as you said for yourself,
do not paint the picture that you merely were there to support whoever it was that the king decided to be.
For as you just said yourself, you had, in so many words, no respect at all for Bertram.
He was not deciding what sort of man he would be. He was still a child.
I reject that notion. The fact that he would still be continuously standing up to Bertram as his brother and as his king, do not think to it that his mind is so clouded that he was not to be able to discern the fact that Roderick was his brother and his king. And, if I may point out, that as a child acting in fear,
It would have been very easy for him to resort to more dramatic resources in order to end a dispute, such as what happened to his family. He would have avoided at all costs, not if Roderick was not giving him the intention, any sort of respect or attention or hearing him, the fact that they would have had as children, before the authority came to him and power corrupted his mind. Bertram would have been seeking that sort of brotherliness, as you keep throwing down at the court, as if it's some sort of degrading desire.
It still was, even before I got here.
And so, if Roderick chose to be this way, you were more than willing to support him in that. But I did not hear in your voice any interest of supporting Bertram in order to try to change Charn's future, depending on its past. So I think that whatever sort of landing in your lap you were more than happy to take, considering the, how shall I say it, the fact that if Bertram were to be able to become king, I don't think you would have seen that as the same helplessness of dealing with a situation that had been thrown into your lap. You seem quite eager to have be disregarding of that fate. So, let us be clear. Your actions may have not been of deliberate commission, but there was certainly omission in refusing, in allowing things to go simply as they were. And if the waters of fortune happened to flow into your bank, you were more than happy to leave it as it was. And if I may finish your thought then, that the waters flowed freely. And those waters, the river had been hewn to flow towards me, and I did not have anything to do with it. Perhaps, my lord, perhaps that is the case. But on the other hand, I did not look as stridently in the books as you know. There was no need for you to. On what basis? Roderick asks with a laugh, a harsh laugh. Because I trusted you. And, if you wish, you can throw the same degrading epithets towards me. That I was behaving still as a child, looking up to you as the captain of the guard that I had grown up with since a boy. And I had a remarkable trust in you. And I did not think that the waters were flowing so freely into your bank. And you wish to criticize Bertram's motivations based on childhood views. You seem to have no objection in my own childhood views in trusting you so entirely. My lord, you, sir, were very focusedly aware of the gains that you were receiving, for I could cite to the court many an opportunity that the waters might have been slipping away, and you were cautious to be sure that they stayed their course. Not exactly the innocent picture that you would like to be seen as. And Caspian and Francis look at each other. Things were getting hot between the defendant and his prosecutor. And that is where that we means, shall stop.
Wouldn't that be his attorney or something?
I beg your pardon. There's the prosecutor and the defendant.
Prosecutor and defendant. Well, we were prosecuting Roderick.
I'm sorry.
And Captain of the Guard was defending him. Well,
yes, indeed. Well, however Caspian would more properly phrase it in the legalities that he would be aware of, the two of you were becoming aware that the defendant and his attorney were beginning to grow more apart.
Indeed. We don't have to do this, but I was hoping for next time. I want to ask, was there ever any point, like, just bring up the point, like, Bertram cared about the citizen. Bertram cared about the people of his kingdom and the soul. People cared about the people out and inside. Outside and inside the castle.
Bertram or Roderick?
Yeah, Bertram.
Did Bertram care about them?
Yeah, that Bertram cared about. Bertram cared about them and asking the captain, what did you do for them?
That's a good question.
Did you ever appeal to them? Like, did you ever, as captain of the guard, there are two things you're supposed to do. First, to obey your king, and then second, to appeal to the needs, appeal to the needs of your men.
I think the captain of the guard would answer to your question then that Bertram, sir, was not king. I was limited to the rules that the king laid forth. And as you are well aware, those rules of the king were questioned by Bertram. So the king's rules had many an opportunity to change, and they did not. I was not the one to push them.
You could have tried a little bit.
He did try several times, Roderick said. And as I said before, to ensure that the waters flowed in his direction. Well, we should probably stop there, but,
I wasn't going to push.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, it's fine. This was fun.
Thank you for that, Roderick.
You're welcome. It was a good question.
All right, now I'll have to think about it. But I feel like we should finish looking through the rest of those tax documents.
Good question. Yep, good point. We should.
Alright. I'll see you around.
Alright, see you around. Good night, buddy.
Roderick is, while I'll say this, Roderick is looking at a shortened prison sentence, shortened therapy session.
He certainly is. Yes. Definitely unexpected.
I think we can get him that 5 years with Medulla. 5 years with therapy from Medulla.
I'm thinking that too, considering how much he's already showing cooperation. And in light of the facts that keep coming in his direction, I think I agree. I think 5 years would be not just a punishment, but just enough.
Yeah.
Maybe he could do, what do they call it, a community service.
That's a good idea. That'd be all part of his sessions with Medulla. The rehabilitation.
He could be doing some of the work that he had Bertram do.
That is true.
And then there could be two kings to charn instead of just one.
An interesting thought. I'm sure Bertram wouldn't mind.
Why can't Roderick and Bertram both be kings?
Well, we'd have to think about that. That'd be interesting.
You've got the kings and queens of Narnia.
I mean, that is true. You have Peter as the High King, though. So one of them would probably be the High King, because sometimes if there is a tough call, one has to make the final. But in general, they could probably work more hand-in-hand on more of that equal footing. Yeah.
Well, I think Roderick could be the High King.
I think once he's done with his rehabilitation, I think there's definitely hopes for a change. I think so. I think I agree. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Rehabilitation. Well, this is going to be fun. And also, we get to sentence Dina Mebel as well.
That is also fun. The two of them deserve some time to cool off.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that, I should let you go soon.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should have the Osprey sentence be slightly longer than Vena's, as he was trying to sink his claws into being a general for a bunch of humans.
So that does not go in his favor, I agree. Yes, that will have to be addressed.
And he's played his own parts of manipulation. So Roderick's not only been betrayed, but he himself was manipulated by three people. Mebel didn't really do much.
Yes. No, it's true. Yep. He was being played on.
He was played on by the Osprey, Vina, and of course the Captain of the Guard.
Yeah. It does kind of increase your sympathies for him.
Sorry, what?
It does kind of increase one's sympathies for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's coming off far less villainous.
I agree. This has been a very interesting court case.
And this time I've been, now all the anger shifted to the Captain of the Guard. Yeah. And it's like, if he didn't care for the people, then, like, if he didn't even bother to care for his own soldiers, then what does the title of Captain of the Guard mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as captain, he has a close relationship with the king.
Yes. Yep. I don't think it's going to go down very well for him.
He's acted more like an advisor than a captain.
Yes. Yes.
Sounds like he wants to be the power behind the throne.
That certainly is what is being uncovered. I definitely agree.
Well, that ain't gonna... The Captain of the Guard should get the longest.
It certainly seems like he had swaying power, so if nothing changed, he would be the one behind it.
Indeed.
Yep. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and hop off, but thanks for the playing. That was fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mom likes it, too.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you were able to sit in. I didn't know you were in. So, yes, it's building up excitingly.
I don't usually hear it when you guys are doing it, but it usually plays me the recording after.
Oh, okay. That's fun. It's like one of those, like a TV show. It's like, well, this is a replay of what happened previously.
Yeah. Well, that's the one you're listening to. That's it for tonight.
Right.
Oh, no.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad that you're able to enjoy it. You guys are able to enjoy it post the session itself. That's really, that's fun. That, extends the playtime, so to speak. But yeah, Francis, you'll have to think about those, your questions for next time. And we'll have to get back to, if there's anybody else that you wanted to question. But I think I lost you. I lost you. Alright, well, today is June 4th, 2026, 10:56 p.m.